Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan. I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up June 5th through the 7th in Texas. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you today?
I am blessed and loved today.
Excellent. Well, before we get started, listeners, I wanted to remind you that we are a listener-supported broadcast, and we are so grateful for all of our partners who have come alongside of us over the years to support us financially and through prayer. And it's neat to see how our partners have helped us to be able to bless people in over 80 countries around the world who hear this podcast each and every week. And it's really exciting to just see how God is moving through this little program to be able to reach so many people. And if you'd like to learn about the ways that you can partner with Pure Sex Radio, simply go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate button, and you can learn about all the different ways that you can partner with us, both financially as well as through prayer and other means. So, Stephen, with that, why don't we jump in here this week? I'm kind of excited about where this will go because I don't know if we know where it will go, which is always kind of fun.
That's good. So I'm reading this book by Gary Smalley. Now, Gary Smalley, you know, lots of you will know him from Focus on the Family, and he goes way back. And his stuff has always been practical. You know, give you ideas. Your wife is like a rose in a garden, and help her bloom and water that flower in the garden. I mean, he's always sort of, he's got visions, he's got ideas and stuff. But something has happened in his life that he has much greater depth in his writings now. So I'm reading this book he wrote recently, or I don't know how recent it is, but it's that part of his early work. It's his later work called I Promise. And it's a pre-marriage book, and I've been reviewing this book, and I like ideas that are deep and challenging. And so right in the middle of this book, he has this sexual thought, and he talks about his sexuality and the struggle of sexuality. And I thought, huh, I guess we'll have to do a podcast on that, because one, the whole book is good, And it just talks about honoring one another and respecting one another and how to deeply love one another. I mean, all the good stuff of God. And so, of course, there's going to have to be a little sexual thrown in there to sort of get men's minds, get the kinks out of a man's mind, straighten it out, if you will.
Well, and especially if you're talking about, you know, pre-marriage and the and what it takes to, you know, be a man in marriage. Well, you can't just gloss over the sexual aspect. You can't.
Well, you could. It'd be easy. It's
but
hard.
If you're going if to actually help a couple before
or be
they're,
honest
right,
and
exactly.
deep, and then you got to talk about the sexual stuff too. That's right. And what I'm talking about is not just how two people get together. You know, you can get the biology to work, but what we're talking about is the challenges of a man's mind, mm-hmm. right? How do you straighten out the kinks and the stuff we picked up along the way that hinders us? We're always trying to be more insightful and reflective and honest about our own sexuality and what we picked up along the journey and what's helpful and healthy and God-honoring and what is self-serving and secretive and dark.
And if I were to maybe, borrow from a resource that I've written called The Four Pillars of Purity, some of what I'm seeing in this particular chapter that we're going to look at might be along the line of that second trigger or that second pillar about understanding triggers, but it's really more about understanding self.
Yes.
And I think because what he's going to talk about here is some of this kind of epiphany that he had along the way in terms of realizing how did his pleasure seeking, how was he going to deal with that once he was in a marriage relationship? Because I think there has to be a pretty significant...
Manage his thoughts, right?
Yeah.
In that, because they still pop up, you're saying.
Yeah, and so it's like, how do you not only manage that, but I think how do you shift it? How do
yes.
you refocus
well,
when those
good.
Things come up? And
yeah, and uproot old, that's good. You got to take out some old stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be in this new marriage, in this new relationship, and you're going to bring old bad baggage, trouble is brewing.
Then you're
right?
probably going to get the old same result that you had previously.
So in one of his chapters, he makes this comment. He said, I was out walking one morning, and this beautiful female jogs by wearing short shorts and skimpy top. And after she passed, I asked myself this question. Why do I, at age 65, still have lustful thoughts? When will I stop being tempted as if I was a 16-year-old? And doesn't that resonate?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care how old you are. Temptation jumps up. Beauty is beauty, you know. Youth is youth. Fit is fit. Attractive, young, and somebody at their prime and running. And
well, you know what? I appreciate his honesty and candor here, because when I read that, the first thing that popped into my head was the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. Where he's talking about that wrestling with sin. Man, I still have sin within me. And why, you know, when I want to do good, evil's right there with me. And I thought about that right there here, because I think that question kind of addresses that. It's like, I'm 65 years old. When am I going to stop having this battle with
yeah.
lust, with sexual sin? And so I think it's an honest question.
Yes.
It's also an honest assessment of where he is. You know, I think he's that's why I appreciate his candor. I think there'd be a lot of guys that are his age that would just say either continue to ignore it or pretend they're more mature than they are.
Yeah, keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody. Don't be honest. And don't put it in a book.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm reading this other book that's really interesting. It says part of our healing comes from our transparency.
Mm-hmm.
The more you're secretive and private and nobody knows, the more you're stuck. The more you're open and honest and transparent, you invite others to be open and honest, the dialogues go deeper and better.
When I think about, I used to have the image of a mature man being a perfect man.
Mm.
I now have the image of a mature man being a fully honest man with himself and with others. There's a great maturity that
yes.
I think happens in that, because you recognize your weaknesses. You're not saying you're proud of them, but you're fully acknowledging them so that you can grow. Because I think the longer we hide and keep things in the dark, we can't grow. We're preventing our growth.
So, I mean, you're saying you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be open to and honest to others, mm-hmm. and you have to be transparent, right?
Right.
I mean, I think we're saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And because I'm saying from an emotional standpoint, those are the healthiest people.
Yeah.
And you're saying those are the most mature men.
Right.
Is the ones that can look at themselves and own their weaknesses. Because mm-hmm. otherwise we're bouncing on the surface and we're talking about superficial things. And hey, this is life. We're in a battle, right? Mm-hmm. And our sexuality is an issue. Our culture is an issue. Aging is an issue. You know, going to work every day and trying to pay the bills is a challenge. And so he's making an observation, and he says, this old thing still comes up in me. And so he says, this has got to be connected to some old belief that I have in my being. And so he said, I'm going to ask God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God to show me what this is about, which I think is powerful.
Yeah.
Because if you go ask God questions, if I go ask God questions, everybody out there listening is taking it to the Father. Aren't we being transparent, mm-hmm. honest, and if we talk to someone else about it? So one, he observed something about himself. Then he said, I'm going to run to my Father, and I'm going to ask him to show me. Mm-hmm. And he said within minutes it hit me. Comment?
I'm waiting to hear what hit him.
Okay. So he goes on. I'm turning the page here in anticipation. I'm keeping Jonathan on the edge of his seat here, you know. And he said, see if I got this right here. I was raised in an environment in which my father and older siblings seemed totally focused on one thing. He said, we were focused on seeking pleasure for ourselves. Mm. Pleasure. And most of our attention was on, let's go hunting, let's go fishing, let's go watch movies, let's go dating, let's be sexual, let's go gamble, let's go have vacation, go skiing, and let's have the greatest amount of pleasure. Let's pleasure ourselves. Let pleasure be important. You know, pleasure is a good thing. Don't deny yourself pleasure.
Now, I already can sense that we're kind of getting up in people's business right now. Because, Stephen, what you just laid out here and what Gary was laying out here in this book, it goes to, I think, a central issue that our culture here in America is entrenched in, and that's a culture of self-gratification.
Mm.
All those things you listed. Now, all of those things that you listed, there is nothing inherently wrong with any of them. You know, vacation, a movie, hunting, even right. sex, you know. And yet the problem is when he outlines it this way, and he says it was about seeking pleasure for ourselves. The idea is not so much about the activities, but the motivation behind it, and saying the whole purpose of life is for me to be gratified, for me to be pleasured, for me right. to, you know, kind of have everything that I want at my disposal and for me and about me. And to me, that's the issue that's really prevalent in our culture, where it's like everything is about my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And
right. And if you think about it, it occurs on several levels. I want to eat the best food. Right, I want to wear nice clothes. I want to drive a nice car. I want to have a nice house. I want to have nice grass in my yard. I want to have nice flowers. I want, you know, I just want the best of everything.
So there's on that level, it's sort of like the maybe kind of a perfectionist, like it's got to be better than everybody else's.
Well, I'm just saying, you notice I left sex out, right?
Right.
I said food and outside and inside. And I want all this stuff. I want to drive, pleasure. Well, you know, what did we, as young men, learn? Where could we find pleasure? Where we had no money. Mm-hmm. We were by ourselves. We were left in a room alone, and we had to go to bed. And it was a hard day, and we felt bad, and we were tired, and we wanted pleasure. Where did we find pleasure? in our sexuality, right? So it's almost like there's two levels. There's the culture that says, hey, don't you need a new, and we can sell you a new car cheap. You can only put $49 down and pay $189, and you can buy the $30,000 car. It doesn't even make sense, but you can do this. I mean, come on, get yourself one of these things, you know?
Yeah.
And so every season we have new clothes that are the right color for this. I mean, everything is about pleasure, right? But then there's this sort of secret world that we as boys developed, like in the basement, right? There's the ground floor and above where you look at all the pretty stuff, but there's this basement where it's like, where can I get pleasure? Where can it be about me and instant and quick and good and solve all the problems of the world? Mm. I can go into fantasy and personal pleasure, and for a few minutes, I can be king.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Well, I think we're kind of saying the same thing, but I'm glad you kind of outlined the differences in the levels there, because there is a difference there, because one doesn't require, is not about trappings at all. You know, the sexual pleasure is not about trappings. It's about, but I still think it sets the same framework of saying it still is all about me. And it still is about, you know, my lust.
Right.
And my...
I'm saying it this way because it's even deep. It's the deepest place.
Yeah.
Because I can watch movies all day, and I can escape and you know, be on cable, and I can just, the fun stuff, the sports stuff, the outing stuff, I can just have fun all day and make it pleasure, right? But then I can, at a secret, deep level, have a little corridor down where nobody goes but me in the deepest. And that's really, I think, what was happening here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't saying, wow, you know, she's young and I wish I was young again. Or she's fit and I wish I was fit again. No, sexual pleasure jumped up, right? And so it is deeply woven into a secret part of our belief, I think, is the point I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's been there a long time. It's been there when we were young. It's part of our, you know, our organs are on the outside. They're easy to get to and they're easy to pleasure, right? We're boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said it and they wove it in and he encoded it. And he said, this is a belief, a deeply held belief within me. The best thing is pleasure and gratification. Don't deny yourself pleasure and gratification. It became a huge part of my heart to seek pleasure and gratification. It's okay. So I gave up some good Christian things and I got rid of some things because, you know, when I give to missionaries and so I give to my church and so, boy, okay, I've sacrificed some. But in the deepest part of our being, we're still holding on to some stuff.
Yeah, and I think this is why it's such a challenge for men, especially those who desire to follow Christ, is because I think this is the part where, you know, if you get down to what we are clutching, I mean, you know, deep within our soul, it's like what are you grasping the tightest? It's like it's this, and so we can more easily. I'm not saying it is easy, but more easily we can give up some other things when Christ requires of us to hey, you need to slough these things off and do that, and then he starts trying to pry our fingers.
The stuff we love.
Off of this deep-seated struggle.
Yeah. So that's why I've sort of gone on and on, because I think it's one thing to say, okay, use less water, okay, because that's a good thing to do. And in our culture, you know, water's scarce, and isn't it morally good to use less water? And you know, I mean, there's all these things you could give up, which, you know, it's not bad. But at the depths of your being, what's the deepest part of your, what are you hanging on to the deepest, the pleasure stuff? It's probably sexual. We're guys talking to guys here.
Well, I think it's important to know, to understand what we're talking about here for what he goes into next in this particular verse that kind of jumped out.
So he said he was walking and this one verse came to him. And it's Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in freedom. But not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. Freedom to serve one another in love. And he said that thought really shook me to the core. I thought the goal was sexual pleasure, gratification, me. But he said, freedom not to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love.
And the thing this to me sets a whole different context for what freedom really is. I know for me, before I started my recovery and really started to understand really kind of the freedom that Christ gives, my idea was freedom was still very self-focused. Freedom meant to me that I can do whatever I want with whomever I want, whenever I want. It was still all about me saying freedom is my ability to choose whatever I want to do. Well, what that did is that never did anything for releasing my grip on this very deep issue with lust. And what this is saying is it paints a whole different picture of what freedom really is. Freedom is being so free in your being that you are being poured out for the sake of others. That's a very different idea of freedom. It's not about being a consumer. It's about being a lover, a giver, it's going out from you. Freedom is actually is being able to serve others, not be self-seeking. And I think that's a very different concept of freedom than what we have in our world here today.
And I'm glad you're emphasizing there are four parts to this verse, right? Freedom to serve one another in love. So number one, do you think a guy that has a belief that I've got to have more and more and more, that's for me, take, play with, fantasize, use, do you think that's freedom?
That's bondage.
Yeah. So the lie is the more you have your little sexual secrets in play and you think you're free to go do whatever you want to do, say it again.
It's bondage. It's prison. Because if you think about it, it before long, it becomes the consuming thing in your life. And it's not about you being in control of it anymore. It is now in control of you.
Wow, that's good. And let that settle in, because I think that's right. What we took as boys that we thought was going to set us free is now the very trap that holds us, right? So he says, number one, it's got to be about freedom deep in your being. And two, we know service, right? We sort of know that to serve. Freedom in service. There is freedom in service to another human being. So I want to be free. Freedom comes not in taking. It comes in giving, right? Serving. Serving who? Another human being. And how do you serve them? In a loving way. In love, not in lust. Right?
Yeah, so it kind of gives you the framework, or it gives you the overarching thing of freedom. Then it kind of gives you the context, which is service. It gives you the relationship, which is another. And then I think it gives you the attitude, which is love. And so really, I mean, that one phrase, freedom to serve one another in love, is rich. I mean, it's incredibly rich. And I think, you know, as I'm sitting here, and you know how we do this on the program a lot of times, we have ideas just spontaneously.
Yeah.
This is like, this to me should be the mind tattoo that a man should have if he wants to really break free. I mean, really break free is say, what am I to be about? Serving one another in love. Be free to serve one another in love.
Yes. Well, and I think the first word is critical too. I want to be free.
Freedom, yeah.
I want to be free. I'm tired of bondage. I'm tired of secrets, shame, lies, destruction, being divided. All the stuff we talk that the sexuality makes us small and hindered. I want to be free.
And that's just it. I think if you're thinking of that, then the rest of the phrase is what that looks like.
Yes.
What is freedom? Serving one another in love.
Yes, and if you hold that word, free, 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 right? It's going to challenge the old belief. Because the belief says, go, 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 take, take, take.
And I want to tell listeners what you just did, because they can't see you. As soon as Stephen said free, he opened his hands.
Huh.
And I think, isn't that really what this picture is about? See, we previously think freedom is clutching. I want to clutch my pleasure. It's all about me. And I think you just did that subconsciously there. It's like, no, freedom is letting go of all of those things so that we can serve one another in love. Because if you're clutching and just holding on to and you know, hoarding, you don't have, your hands aren't free to serve others. And so then you're not really free because you're still clutching onto your own lust and desires.
And so I think we should challenge our listeners to play with those four words or four thoughts: freedom to serve another human being, right? Because that puts us in relationship to one. If I'm pleasuring me alone, I'm out of a relationship, right? I'm not in union. There's not a one another. There's not a bond there, right? So freedom to serve another in love. And so even the whole idea of love gets challenged with lust.
Right.
Right, of taking.
Well, that's just it. I think that's why that's put in here, because there can be a lot of serving, quote unquote, that's going on with ulterior selfish motives, right?
Yes.
Hey, Steve, I'll pat you on the back, but it's really because I want something in return. Mm. And what this is saying is, hey, you know what real freedom is? It's serving others in love. It's serving others without those strings attached. It's serving others for the sake of their good. It's not with that still self-centered motivation and self-focused agenda.
So he went on to say this. He said, I focused on changing my belief. And the way I did it was I hid God's word in my heart. And he said, it was amazing how fast things changed. Within 2 weeks, he said, I repeated this day and night, this verse to myself, day and night. What was it again? I have been called to live in freedom. Not freedom to satisfy my sinful nature, but freedom to serve another in love. Day and night for 2 weeks. And he said it changed everything. I used to focus on me, but God gave me the power to serve others through love. And it smashed, crashed, destroyed the old belief that I'd had from childhood. It's about pleasuring ourselves, boys. You know, this is how the home, I'm making up a home he was raised in. All right, boys, let's, how much fun can we have? Let's take, let's gorge, let's stuff. Okay, boys, today is another day of pleasure. Don't deny yourself. Go to the trough and don't come back until your belly's dragging on pleasure.
And I think it's good at this point to pull this back around to the context in which he is addressing all of this, and that is, here's this book about marriage, right? About this specific relationship of marriage. And I think you can start to see the connections of the value here to why this is so important to understand this, because in this marriage relationship, it isn't about taking from your spouse. It is about how can I serve my spouse in love, and in that sense, not only experience freedom in that, but also a deeper intimacy that you can't have if you're continuing to clutch your lust and you're clutching your, you know, your selfish
desires.
That's
true. Yeah, it's going to limit you. So you put it back in the context of the whole book, because in the next page, there's this really deep sexual transformational piece right here in the middle of this book. And on the next page, he said, well, I had just been married a short time, and it was Valentine's Day, and I forgot. And I called my wife, and I said, can I go to a basketball, you know, church basketball game? I'm helping out and coaching these guys, and we haven't won a game all season, but can I go to this game? She goes, honey, it's Valentine. This is our first Valentine. I've cooked a special dinner. And in the end, he goes to the basketball game.
Oh,
he comes home, and dinner's cold. And he said, and so was she.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a good read, but I'm going to challenge our listeners with this verse to repeat it. Yeah. Go look up Galatians 5:13.
Yeah. And listeners, we want you to know that we're here to help you on your journey as well, to encourage you towards freedom. And if you are wondering about ways that you can serve others, please contact us. There's lots of opportunities to serve others through this ministry. We're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.